So we're in season 2, episode 3, Sermon on the Mount. And, you know, today, millions, not just, and that's not an exaggeration in any way, millions of people today will be taught from the Sermon on the Mount around the world. And it's just a topic that the church has taught on for 2,000 years and millions today. And it's not an exaggeration to say billions of people today in a church setting will pray the Lord's Prayer. Billions of people will. Catholic people, Episcopalians, Lutherans, Methodists, people in Assembly of God churches, Foursquare churches, billions of people. There's 3.5 billion people that call somehow connected to the name of Jesus. So there's billions today who will pray the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to be into chapter 6 and verse 16 through 18. Why don't you stand with me and we're going to read the passage out loud. It'll be up on your screen. Read it with a little bit of tenacity with me, would you? And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. You may be seated. You know, you've probably, if you've been in the church for any length of time, in any church, you've probably heard some people talk about, you know, these verses. And oftentimes they talk about fasting and you know, about how important fasting is and that people fast and for the various reasons people fast. And sometimes people will say, well, Jesus, in these verses, Jesus assumes that people will fast. Or they'll say, you know, that part of the church history for 2,000 years has been people fasting. And sometimes, you know, fasting is a formal thing. I'll explain fasting in just a second. But sometimes fasting is a formal thing. You know, I grew up in a Catholic home. And so, you know, from a very young age, Fridays was fish day. And that's what we ate on Fridays. Had no idea why we ate fish on Friday. And you didn't eat anything but fish, but we ate only fish. And it was especially a big deal when it came. I lived in Southwest Washington before, and by the Cowlitz River before Mount St. Helens blew. And before that, I mean, the smelt run. Do you know what smelt? You know, little tiny fish, you know, like they're about that big and full of bones. But man, the fish run and people down there in their buckets. My dad would buy a whole bucket of it and my mom would cornbread it and fry it. And we never even pulled the bone out. You just ate it, you know, and it was like nasty. But anyway, you know, it's not, at least for me, I just like, but that's what we did on Fridays. That's what we did on Fridays. And the idea behind it was a form of penance and to honor Jesus for his sacrifice on the cross, which take place on Friday. Now, it would have been nice to know that. I probably was told that, but was not paying attention like a lot of things in life. I wasn't paying attention to. And so as far as it was just Friday was fish day. I had no idea it was connected to that's because Jesus died on the cross on Friday. And some of you that grew up Catholic, you didn't know that either till now, okay? And so you learned something. You at least learned something today. Or other church traditions practice Lent. And Lent is, you know, the 40 days before Easter. Might give up food, might give up chocolate. Some people give up alcohol. Some people give up entertainment. You know, whatever it happens. I mean, just there's various kinds of ways that people, you know, practice Lent. And it's to prepare their hearts for, again, just the idea of the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. Sometimes when people are teaching on fasting, they talk about a partial fast. You know, where you'd fast certain things, but, you know, wouldn't have to be everything. Like some people just do, like they do a meat fast, and so they'll just eat vegetables. Some people do a, you know, a liquid fast, where they'll take all their nutrients in liquid. There's just all kinds of different fasting that people have done. You know, the Bible talks about fasting from sexual relations with your spouse for a period of time. Some people, you know, fast in our time. They fast from entertainment, social media, all those kinds of things. So that there's so much to say about fasting. And I can give you all kinds of books and all that, all the material you'd need to know. But here's what I want to talk about today. I don't think Jesus was talking about specifically giving a teaching on fasting. That's not what I think he was doing. What I think Jesus was doing in this passage of Scripture is Jesus is addressing the human propensity to show off. That's what he's talking about in this passage. It's not about fasting, even though it can be a launching pad for fasting. That's not really what Jesus was talking about. So let's look at it again, and I've highlighted the parts where he's talking about showing off. So go ahead and, I think it's slide 4. And so he says this, and he says, when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do. He says, and when you fast, as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled. Just a side comment on that. If you've ever tried to fast for any length of time, it can be miserable. You know, it's like, so these guys are pretending to look miserable, but there's times where I've fasted where, like, it was miserable. You know, like when, how many more hours? You know, how much more time? You know, maybe I've just never fasted long enough to get past all of that. But they says, for they try to look miserable and disheveled, and people will admire them for their fasting. So people will admire them. I tell you the truth, that's the only reward they'll ever get. Go to the next slide. And it says, but when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face, then no one will notice that you're fasting. The point of what Jesus is talking about here is not about fasting. It's about the human propensity to show off, to make sure other people see, to make sure other people notice us, to notice what we're doing and notice what we're going through. And, you know, through the evolution of Judaism or Israel's, you know, the faith the Jews, through the evolution of it, they got to the place of, by the time of Jesus, where Mondays and Thursdays were typical fasting days. So those were the days that people fasted. There's all kinds of scriptures about fasting and about fasting on certain holidays and so on, and for certain celebrations. But just as life went on, by the time of Jesus, Mondays and Thursdays were the typical fasting days. Mondays and Thursdays were also the typical market days. And so where people would go to the market in the villages, they'd go to market in Jerusalem, to town. And when they would go to, so on Mondays and Thursdays, those places were filled. You know, there was all kinds of people because they come down to buy their vegetables, they come down to get their meat, they come down to trade their goods for something else, whatever it happens to be. And so they were busy places. And while they're busy places, there's also people parading their fasting in the middle of it all. So that's what's taking place. That's the context of what's happening here. And he says to them, and so they would, you know, they wouldn't shave, they wouldn't comb their hair, their clothes looked tattered, and kind of moping around. And people would then see them and go, "Oh, there's a faster." They would just notice them. That guy must be fasting today. Or someone else would go, "Oh, there's one of those spiritual people, because they look miserable." And that's how it would be. That's what Jesus is talking about. And so they didn't shave, they didn't do their clothes, whatever it happens to be. And Jesus, they saw it, the people that were fasting and that did this, they saw it as an act on their part to show that they were humbling themselves, that they were in some way, showing repentance or mourning or grieving or whatever it happened to be, that they were, they were doing something good. That's what they were trying to see. Jesus didn't see it that way. Jesus saw it as they were showing off is what they were doing. And that's why he says, when you fast, don't do this, don't do that, whatever it happens to be. And Jesus had already addressed, we looked at it last spring, Jesus had already addressed the subject of showing off when he talked about prayer and when he talked about giving alms in the first part of Matthew 6. Just in case you don't remember or you weren't here at that time or missed season 1, here's what he said. He said, watch out. This is Matthew 6, 1 through 4. He says, watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, or you lose your reward. And when you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, tooting their own horns, or it actually says blowing their trumpets, but making sure everybody knows they're giving to the poor in the synagogues, in the streets, and then to call attention to their acts of charity. Again, he was talking about early in there. He's like, when you're giving to help people, don't toot your horn. Don't make sure everyone knows what's going on. I mean, again, I felt the same thing Barbara did, you know, when we were in Uganda, because you guys, our church, and our church is the one that helped build the church in Kairobi. Our church is the one that helped buy the property and build the church in Bwase. They did all the work. We helped with some of the financing of it, but it wasn't me. I mean, I gave, Barbara gave, but all of you guys, all of us gave. So that over the last few years when we, you know, we've been able to do like, you know, our Christmas offering, something like $125,000 over the last, you know, five years or 6 years or something like that. But that's all of us. Matter of fact, even most of the cost of Barbara and I going to Uganda was not paid by us. It was paid out of the, you know, money here at the church or missions or people that gave so it could happen. So you just feel so like, this isn't about us. This wasn't us. It's not about us. It's about someone else. And as a matter of fact, while I was there, the pastor in Bwase, Pastor Arnold, who's usually online, he, and he's probably online right now, so hi, Pastor Arnold and Judy and family. Is he online? He's on. Barbara says he's online. She does our Facebook stuff every Sunday, so she usually sits in the back corner and she's connecting with everybody that's on Facebook or YouTube. But Pastor Arnold was doing all of his work on his phone. I don't have my phone, but he's got, you know, he's got an iPhone. He's doing all of his work on his phone. I said, what about your computer at home? He said, I don't have one. What about your laptop? I don't have one. I said, you do all your work on your, hi, Monty. You do all of your work on your phone. He said, yeah, that's all I have. So I just thought, I got to get this guy an iPad. I got to get this guy an iPad. And so then I thought, when I get home, I'm going to figure out how to get him an iPad. And then I thought, you know, no, I'm not going to go home. I'm just going to give him my iPad. And so I gave him my iPad keyboard and so on. And someone from our church had communicated with me beforehand and said, is there a specific need me and my wife and our family can give to? And I said, well, I don't know at this point, but let me find out, and then I'll let you know. So I texted this person from Uganda, and I said, hey, I'm thinking about giving my iPad to this, you know, this pastor and so on. Would you be willing to finance that? Because the person had asked, what could I didn't give it to him. Someone else, and part of the family, is sitting in this room right now, who gave so that I could give Pastor Arnold my year-old laptop or iPad, all this stuff. See, it's not about us. Does that make sense? It's not about us. It's about what Jesus does and so he says, just don't show this off. Or he says, when you pray, he says, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and the synagogues and so that everyone can see him. Here's what Jesus is talking about. Instead of making sure everyone sees, make sure everyone doesn't see. That's what Jesus is saying. Instead of making sure everyone sees when you pray, make sure everyone doesn't see. Instead of making sure everyone sees when you give, make sure everyone doesn't see when you give. And now he's talking about fasting. He says, make sure when you're fasting, not that everyone sees that you're fasting. Matter of fact, make sure everyone doesn't see that you're fasting. That's what he's actually talking about. And so you do everything you can to make sure people don't know. And Jesus constantly rebuked the religious leaders for this idea. That they were showing off. They were showing off. They were showing off. In Matthew chapter 23, he goes through a whole litany of them. And I'll touch on a couple of them here, but he goes through a whole litany. But here's what he says in Matthew chapter 23, verse 5. He starts it out this way, saying, everything they do for show. He says, everything they do, they're doing it to show off. They're doing it so that somebody will recognize them. They're doing it so somebody will see. So they'll get somebody patting them on the back is the idea. So he says, what sorrow awaits you teachers of the law and you Pharisees and hypocrites, for you are so careful to clean the outside of the dishes, the cup, but the outside of this, outside, it just all has to look right. But inside it says you're filthy, full of greed and selfish indulgence. Or he says, what sorrow awaits you, teacher of the religious law, hypocrites, for your whitewashed tombs. We talked about that, you know, a little while ago. Just that they would paint the outside of the tombs, and inside was full of these dead bones. It's like it all looked pretty on the outside. So, and he says, and outwardly you look righteous, look like righteous people, but inwardly your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. It's interesting, one of the passages that Jesus records Jesus pointing this out in Luke, after he says all these things, the religious leaders say to him, "You've just offended us." It's like, you think? You think? You know, that was Jesus' point, was to try and offend them, to say, knock it off. Quit doing everything you're doing for show. So let me talk about some things about image management, okay? Got a few more minutes, so let me talk about image management. People oftentimes add to their image to make themselves look better. They add to their image. Okay? So, and it's one of the things Jesus addressed. Don't add things to your image to look better than you really are. We do it in all kinds of ways. You know, we're careful to make sure we look good on the outside. You know, the right looks, the right words, and, you know, careful that people see the good side. And I'm talking about in the church world. I'm not talking about in our culture. I'll talk about our culture in a second. But in the church world, you know, people try to be on their best behavior. You know, their Sunday best clothes, best behavior, best attitude, best whatever it happens to be. And which you shouldn't have to pretend. You shouldn't have to pretend to be living a certain way. The reason you have to pretend is because you're not living that way. It's the whole point of what he's talking about. Is just start living that way, then you don't have to pretend like you're living that way. You don't have to add to it when you're in certain settings and so on. You know, and just as a whole in culture, man, people embellish resumes. I mean, just think about this. Over the last few years, the number of articles that have existed about pastors who get, you know, positioned in a certain church, and then only to find out later that the pastor didn't work at the church he said he had worked at. Or he didn't have the education he said he had. I mean, the guy's going to stand up like I'm doing right now in front of people and teach them the truth, and they embellish their resume to get a certain church. You're like, wait a second. I mean, how incongruent is that? There's something wrong. And that's what Jesus is talking about. I mean, don't embellish, don't exaggerate our accomplishment. And sometimes other people, let me just put it a different way, and this has been one that's frustrated me over the years, is people who exaggerate their illnesses or what's going on in their life, they exaggerate it to get attention. You know, sometimes we call them hypochondriacs, and I mean, we have all these words for them, but it's like, wait, you have an illness. You don't need to exaggerate your illness. You already have the illness. You know, it's a funny thing that we do as people. So here's what Jesus says. Don't add to impress. Do not add to impress. It's one of the things he's saying to the group of people. On the other side is sometimes people cover up to make their image better. They cover up. So some people want to add to make their image look better. Some people want to cover it up to make their image look better. So Jesus says this. He's talking again to the religious leaders. He says, "Meanwhile, the crowds grew until thousands were milling about and stepping on each other. And Jesus turned to his disciples and warned them. He said, 'Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees.'" It says thousands of people. So many people were following Jesus that people were stepping on each other. They may have to climb over each other to try and get a view of Jesus. And he says, watch out. And he warns the disciples. He says, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. The time is coming where everything that is covered will be revealed. Everything you try and hide, it's going to be revealed. And all that is secret will be made known. Whatever you've said in the dark will be heard in the light. Whatever you've whispered behind closed doors will be shouted from the housetops. That's what Jesus says. And so, like, you know, this is a secret. Don't tell anybody. And sometimes that secret, too often, that secret is about something we shouldn't be talking about. It's not our business. Anyway, man. Did you hear? Did you know about? Jesus says all that stuff's going to be shouted from the rooftop. It's kind of the idea that if people saw the real me, I don't think they would like me. I don't think they would respect me. I don't think they would love me. I don't think they'd want to be around me. You put whatever words in there. And because of that fear, I mean, we talk so much in our culture, even in the Christian culture, about being authentic, you know, about being real. And people say, well, they want you to be authentic. They want you to be real, all that stuff. But too often we live under the fear that if people knew the real me, they wouldn't like me. If they knew the real me, they wouldn't respect me. And so then what we find ourselves is either covering those things up or adding to us. Is everybody with me? And that's what Jesus is really talking about here. He's saying, don't add so you look better than you really are, and don't cover up to hide the things that you shouldn't be hiding. He is addressing authenticity, but not authenticity as we sometimes warp it to be in our world. And he says, beware of the yeast, the whole idea. See, Jesus does not care about image. He cares about substance. Jesus does not care about our image. He cares about what's going on, the substance inside of us. That's what Jesus is constantly working on. If you get down to the bottom of it, that's what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. The Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 to Matthew 7, verse 31, or whatever, 30, 31, whatever it is, that he's trying to address substance. He's trying to say, quit living for impressions. This is about substance. He says, N.T. Wright says this, you don't need mask or makeup in the kingdom of God. You don't need mask or makeup in the kingdom of God. We're running out of time, but there's a story in John chapter 8. I was going to read it to you, but there's a story in John chapter 8. It's about the woman who's caught in adultery, and she's brought by the religious leaders to Jesus. Many of you know that story, and even if you're not a church person or don't have a lot of church background, you probably at least have heard allusions to it. So it's this event where some religious leaders catch this woman in the act of adultery with this man, and they grab the woman, they drag them to Jesus, they're trying to test Jesus, and they say, Jesus, the law of Moses says we should stone this person. What do you say? If you remember the story, it goes like this, and it says, they kept demanding an answer, and Jesus said, all right, let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. In that crowd was people who were sinners like everyone else. They were sinners just like the woman caught in adultery. But they were putting on the face that they were better than her. They had a mask on. They had added a mask so that they looked better than they really were. And so Jesus says, okay, let's do this here, guys. Let's just do this. Put aside your image, take off your mask, and if you're who you're showing yourself to be, then throw the first stone. Otherwise, on your way. On your way, down the road. See ya, bye, bye. And what did it say? It said they started leaving one by one, starting with the oldest, who realized they had been wearing a mask. I mean, Jesus, he just poked them right in the center of this whole idea. You're showing off. You're pretending to be something you're not. So, don't add to make your image better. Don't, you know, cover up to make your image better. But don't act like you're more spiritual than you really are. That's what Jesus is talking about. Just don't act more spiritual than you really are. Just be yourself. And if yourself doesn't line up with who you want to be, and it doesn't line up with who you know Jesus wants you to be, move in that direction. Covering it up to pretend that you're, this is who, I know this is what Jesus wants in my life. I know we've worked on it so long. This is what Jesus wants. To pretend that's who you are doesn't help you get from here to there. But being honest about what's going on is what helps you get from here to there. Does that make sense? That's the reality. Or here's where I'm at. That's where Jesus wants me to be. So let me, you know, add to it, or let me not just, you know, on one side hide stuff, but on the other side add to it. Don't add to it. You know, don't pretend that that's who you are. But let Jesus do everything he wants to do, which comes from being honest about the things in our life with ourselves, with a few people around us, being honest, because then Jesus is able to take us from here and move us to there. The problem is so often Jesus wants to move us from here to there, but he can't move us from here to there because we're stuck right here taking things, you know, hiding things and adding things, and we just get stuck and we stay right there. Are y'all with me? That's what that Jesus is not addressing. He's not addressing the idea of fasting here. He's addressing the idea of image management. A lot more I'd say about it, but let me just skip to a couple of things. There's this famous line, and it's, you might see it attributed to Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey's kind of morphed it a little bit. But Will Rogers is the original one who said it. He said this: we buy things with money we don't have to impress people we don't like. It's the American way. It's the American way. We buy things with money we don't have to impress people we don't like. And Jesus is trying to address, and again, I got all kinds more notes. Jesus is trying to address that idea that we do not need, you know, there's a lot of articles being written, books being written, you know, podcasts about it and so on, about pastors creating their own brand, branding themselves. You got to brand yourselves. As a pastor, if you don't brand yourselves, you're going to limit how many people will listen to you. And, you know, just this whole thing of you got to create who you are and, you know, your image. And, I mean, you hire organizations to help you create an image. And if you've got to hire an organization to help you create an image, there's a lot more wrong with your life than your image. You know, I was, you know, just the whole idea of branding. You know, when I was a kid, some of you have heard me tell this before. When I was a kid, you know, I grew up, there's 9 kids in our family. We lived on the other side of the tracks and the town I lived in. We lived on the south end of the town, which was the poor end of the town. And so every year when it came Christmas or gave school clothes buying time, man, I just wanted my mom to buy me a pair of Levi's, you know, with a little red tag. You know, I just, those were the coolest thing, you know, to have they got that little red tag, you know. But because there were all these boys, and in my family, there were 6 boys and 3 girls. And so my mom's like, no, we're not spending money on those because you will outgrow them in a short period of time, or you will fall down and you will have holes in the knees. And then what good is the patch on the back, the little sticker on the back when you got patches on your knees? So you get Sears jeans. Some of you don't even know what Sears is, the younger ones, but. Sears or JCPenney, those were the two. Got, and you know, and she would order them out of the catalog, and you know, they were, you know, like this, and you're just so embarrassed to go to school. So I've realized this about me as a pastor. I'm not a Levi pastor. I'm a Sears JCPenney pastor. And I'm happy being a Sears JCPenney pastor. Because I don't want to live with a red tag. Okay, you with me? I don't want to live just to have a red tag. Because Jesus can't do in me what he wants to do when I'm trying to live for a red tag. And he can't do through me what he wants to do when I'm living for a red tag. Amen? That's the reality. That's the reality. So here's the bottom line on these, then we'll pray. Don't add to your life to impress people. Because you're living a lie then. When you have to add things, when you have to try and do something to impress someone else, it's a lie. It's not the real you. And on the other side, don't hide things. If you got something you're starting, now it doesn't mean you put a, you know, whatever sign on you and walk down the road, you know, put you in a hospital, okay? But there should be some people in your life that you say, you know, I'm really struggling with this. Or when the thing comes up, you know, I still don't have this fixed. I just don't have this thing figured out. Me and Jesus don't got this done. And just be honest about it, because then it gives you the greater opportunity to move to where he wants you to be. And don't pretend to be spiritual. Don't pretend to be spiritual. Just be you with you and Jesus. Amen? Let's stand together. Right before I pray, I was thinking, as I was doing this week, there's some people that are going to come, and I'm going to start reading verses about fasting, and they're going to go, oh, no, I do not want to hear about fasting. Some of you are now thinking, I wish I would have heard about fasting. Jesus, help us. There is not one of us. Not one of us in this room, not one of us online, not one of us here, not one of us other places in the world where people sometimes, you know, watch our online, who don't wrestle with this whole idea of trying to impress other people. We're guilty of it, Jesus. And we want to be honest with you right up front that there's times we've added to look better than we really are. And we've hidden things so we look better than we really are. And we've tried to be more, pretend that we're more spiritual than we really are. We ask you to forgive us. And we ask you to continue to do the transforming work that we could go, get to where you want us to be. Because it's really where we want to be. But you'd continue to do your transforming work in our lives to get us to where that place is. So Lord, again, those of us in this room, those that are online, those that'll participate later in the week because of work or whatever. Lord, you take these words, plant them in our hearts, and continue to do your transforming work. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. Amen. Thanks for joining us today in the room. Thanks for joining us online. Some of our leadership team is going to be right up here. They would love to pray with you today if you came looking for someone to pray with you. So come up here, let them pray for you. God bless you. Thanks for being here today.